The episode you are about to hear contains explicit words. The opinions within are those of the hosts and in no way imply that anyone listening to this podcast agrees with anything we say. Please send complaints to thisflippinpodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for hanging out.
No problem.
I'm joined by Johnny Crap, aka Jonathan Bergeron, aka Johnny Crap.
That's right.
Pinball artist for Jurassic Park Pinball. Like the title basically of 2019 kind of blew it out of the park with your first game. And I follow you on Instagram. We seem to have some common interest. And so I was like, let me hit you up several times over and over again and see if I can harass.
I'm not very good at checking my messages.
I actually reached out to Zombie Yeti like a while back and he's been on the show. And I was like, man, I want to get this guy on. He's like, I don't know if he does that kind of thing. And I was like, all right. And so I think I hit you up on Instagram and nothing. And I was like, okay. And I don't want to like harass the guy, but I'm like,
yeah, it's all good.
But I see the shit you post and I'm like, we're into the same thing. Like, I just want to have him on to talk. And like, you know, I think your story is really interesting. I think Stern Pinball and the way that they've created kind of this, new group of artists is really interesting because a lot of you guys seem to have a really similar background, you know, like gig posters, like Dirty Donnie, Zombie Yeti, yourself kind of come from this like real gig poster background, which I think is really cool. But I also think it's interesting, like seeing what you're into, like music wise, you're coming from a very culturally heavy scene into pinball, which is a really kind of weird cultural scene because it's almost just pinball.
People are as intense in that as metal heads are. It's an interesting world to join in.
And so your background, how old are you? I gotta ask, because you grew up in the—
I'm 47
now. 47. All right. I just turned 48.
Yeah, I saw that online too. It's kind of funny. Like, oh, yeah, it's like we're at that.
We grew up in the same— like we grew up like skateboarding. I never BMX'd, but I skateboarded. So I grew up in that, you know, that I would say golden era of modern skateboarding. Where you really saw a change in like the attitude with graphics, just the entire art explosion. I know you come from like a graffiti background. I used to do graffiti. So how'd you get into art? How'd you get into art? Like what?
I've always been drawing since like I was very young and like just drawing all the time. And, but I've never seen it as something I could do with my life really. Like, you know, even like in, when I was in high school, like my mom like used to tell me like, you know, just pursue a career in art. I'm like, no, like, you know, my parents wanted me to do that.
Yeah.
Like, and, which is pretty rare. Like usually people are like discourage you from doing that. But, you know, I was like, no, I just, you know, I don't know what I want to do, but I don't want to do that. And, but then like I fell into like skateboarding and graffiti. Like I was really influenced by the West Coast culture for some reason. Like I was, you know, I live in Montreal where it's really cold at winter. And like, it's just, I've never really got into like the Quebec culture too, or like, you know, like I don't feel Canadian to a certain extent.
Cause
like my culture really came from the West Coast and everything. Like, you know, I remember like one of my first graffiti was like painting like a huge Uzi with Ice Tea written on it. And it was like in Belle, like, you know, like it's a small suburbs of Montreal, you know, like like really small town. So like the dentist was probably like really weirded out by that. But, you know, like I really got into graffiti after that. And the mix with like everything merged at some point, like, you know, like the music, the graffiti, like the street culture, the like the skateboard culture and all that really was like looked really like meaningful to me, like, you know, like really powerful. And so I really got into that more and more. And I just kept drawing, like, and going from jobs to jobs. And at some point I was getting more and more requests to do artwork or things like that for friends or, you know, small company, small store.
Now, how old were you at this point?
Like, it was probably like my first real gigs were like around like 20.
Yeah. Wow.
Like doing like, you know, a graffiti job inside of a skate shop and things like that, you know? But I just kept like going, bouncing from job to job that had nothing to do with really what I was doing the rest of the time. And at night I would just come back home and like just draw. And at some point I got asked to do like some local, like posters for local gigs for like punk rock bands and things like that. And then a promoter saw some of my work and started getting me more work. And snowballed from there. Like I just kept doing like bigger acts, like, you know, time after time and job after, like going from job to job.
Yeah.
And then I was approached like a while back, like I was probably like, I was around 30 at that point when like my first real t-shirt job came in for like a major act, and it was Kid Rock.
Oh yeah.
So it was kind of funny to do. And from there, like, I just, you know, got more and more work from those companies.
Those t-shirts are all made, like, it's not Kid Rock that hires you.
Right.
Obviously, it's like a like big companies that do merch for a bunch of bands. And so, like, they have a big roster of bands. And they started, like, giving me more and more work. And I ended up doing a lot of metal stuff for a long time. Like, you know, I started doing some Slayer, and, you know, by at this point I've done probably like 20 Slayer t-shirts. Yeah, so that's how it got started for real. And then I managed to leave my jobs, daily jobs.
Yeah.
You know, cause like I was basically working all day at a daily job, and then I would come home and like, I mean, I had more stamina, I guess, like around 30.
Yeah, yeah.
I could
yeah.
work all night too on things, and you know, go to bed at 2 a.m. and get back up at 7 to go work on a day, like regular job. But you know, at some point, I managed to be able to just quit those jobs and just concentrate on just drawing all day. So
now your style, like your commercial style, because like, were your parent, was your mom or were your parents artists at all?
No, not at all.
I mean, so in their support for you was just because it was something you were into doing, and they were just like, yeah, go with it. And so were you trained at all? Like, did you go, like, were you in like special high school program or anything like that?
No, I pretty much learned on my own. I'm self-taught, and I just like to discover. And back then, like, there was no internet or anything like that.
Yeah.
So basically, you'd look at books and try to learn from that, like by just looking a lot at, you know, the materials and like buying materials and trying things. And sometimes, you know, like it probably took me longer to learn my stuff than if I went to school for that. But I just kept at it, you know, like, because like going to, like, at some point we have Cégep here. Cégep is like after high school, before university.
Yeah.
There's kind of like a couple of years where like, it's like that, you know, like you do a transition from high school to university, basically. And I went to Cégep in arts, but like I already had like a good background in arts that like I learned on my own. And when I got there, like people in Cégep, like basically they got into that program because they couldn't get in their main program. It's just a way for them to get into school.
Yeah.
By going through the art program.
Yeah.
So I was very not challenge in there. And I started doing graffiti too, like pretty heavily at that point, like doing really big pieces by the train tracks and stuff like that. And I was really influenced by that. And I used to show my teachers, and my teacher were like just discarding that, like it would never amount to anything, you know? And they're like, well, that's, you know, just a phase, whatever. And like, who's selling right now in art, in the art world?
Yeah.
It's like, just like big graffiti artists. So who were there back then too.
Now know, this like was in like, this was like late '80s, early '90s.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And a very early '90s, like 92 around that. So anyway, so I basically learned on my own, you know. I remember taking a class like for oil painting, but I was already like painting oil for like a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I took a class at like a little community, like it was, where was it? Like it was like above on the second floor of like the scout like meeting place. So I met like people there, and they were like just old ladies. They were like, you know, people, you know, they always say like, when I'm retired, I'm going to learn how to paint or whatever. And so I was like the kid in there, you know. I was like probably like 20, no, not even 20. I've been like 18 or 19 at that point, like just learning with them. But that's the only class like that I took for like real painting.
What were you What were you looking at, like as far as like artwork? I mean, like being into skateboarding and stuff. I mean, I think back to when like I was like high school. Like I know Pusshead was big, like you would see his stuff, and it was like that real, you know, like it kind of, I don't know how to describe his style, but it's, you know, it's like,
yeah, it was kind of like a gory metal.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, yeah.
But it's also, it's just like really finely done. You know, it's like he has like his own technique. Like there's a real Pusshead technique that I know that I would steal, you know.
Yeah, there's two or three artists that made like a good living reproducing that that style, you know, after because he's very reclusive too, like he's not, like he's hard to get to, and like, which is, like I totally understand, like once you have your thing going, and he's like just, he's doing his own thing, like and I think like the beauty of him is like he was just doing it, you know, like I don't think he had like a really like I'm gonna be Pusshead, you know. Like he was just doing his thing, so it was kind of cool. But yeah, like back then, like that style wise, always had like a split personality when it comes to like art, like because I love a lot of the really lowbrow kind of stuff, but I also like the fine arts, and so like back then, I used to really love everything that was skateboard. And the album covers, like all the old punk and hardcore like covers, like the ink work, you know, like the Subhumans from the UK, like those kind of albums, like always, like Circle Jerks. I always loved everything that was artwork, Circle Jerks back then. And so I was very influenced by those guys. And at the same time, a lot by Cezanne and like those like impressionists and Dali and you know, like all those, you know, those big names, and even like the Dutch painters and, you know, like stuff like that. So I always liked both. I'm still like that, you know, like I would draw like a super gory like cover, like t-shirt for Slayer, but like come to the studio and I would like to try to do fine paintings of garbage and dumpsters and stuff like that.
So, well, I think some of like going through your portfolio and looking at your work, like I think the like the Mexican skull pieces are really interesting because they really do cross both those kind of genre. Yeah. You know, it's like they're done in a very fine art style, but it is that kind of like punk, like suicidal tendencies. You know, like I think about that, like you put a bandana around your head a certain way, and that's what I go back to. So it's your work is all over the place, which is really interesting. And even reading like your bio where it's like, you know, you go by Jonathan Bergeron or Johnny Crap.
Yeah.
And it is, it's like, if you look at your work, like there really is that division,
Yeah,
which is really interesting.
I also had like the, Yeah, I also had like Zen as my graph partner.
Right, so right.
Like, I'm really, yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Like I was just attracted to all sorts of different. Like I'm very much a generalist. I think like I like to touch a bit everything. Like, you know, I was trying to sculpt at some point too, but like it's at some point, like I like so many different things that it takes away from my main focus. Yeah. Like my wife tells me all the time, you know, she's like, just focus on one thing, you know, like, but I can't, like, I just love doing all sorts of different things. You know?
Now, what type of sculpture were you doing?
Oh, I was just trying to do like a bust of Jeffrey Lebowski. Like,
okay.
I have a big Lebowski thing. So I was trying to do like a like mini bust, but then I noticed that somebody else online like was already selling some, and I was like, oh, well, I'm going to waste my time doing that.
So like getting into like the whole figure thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That rabbit hole.
But, yeah.
Now. All right. So you, let's get into Jurassic Park, because I think that, I think like going through and looking at your portfolio and seeing like how broad your interest is in just what you're making, like you're all over the place. And then looking at like, if I looked at your portfolio and I looked at Jurassic Park, I would not necessarily go, that's Johnny Crapp's work.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're a professional artist who can create an art package like Jurassic Park. You know?
Yeah. I think that's what brought me to Stern. The fact that I could do a bit anything, sort of like, you know, like I could change my style like according to like a certain need. Like I would say, like if I tried to do a Johnny Crapp Jurassic Park, like it would probably look different.
Yeah.
But it would probably not serve like the licensor and like, you know, like, cause Jurassic Park, let's say it's, you know, like I can't start being cartoony or like it just needed to look a certain way. So, you know, I always try to adjust my, like I've done many jobs where like I had to adjust my style.
And yeah.
I feel good doing that. You know, like I don't, like certain people have like really one style and that's what they're going to be approached for. But I'm going to be approached often like, cause like I can do it, you know, like I can adjust and like work with them like to towards a certain goal.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's like, I was about to say like, that's probably why Zombie Yeti, like, cause he's the one that referred me to Stern.
Yeah.
Cause I think he was just swamped with like too many, too many projects again. And, so he's like, you know, would you be like, he hit me up and he's like, would you be interested? Like, you know, do you ever think of doing a pinball? I'm like, I never thought I would be asked to do a pinball, you know, like I'm not from the pinball world. What I've always enjoyed from pinball, like many other things, like comics, like it's just the style, the of drawings, the like everything that was graphic always like attracted me.
Yeah.
So whenever I saw a pinball, I would, like, you know, often play it, but like more than anything, it was like the visual aspect of it that would bring me to a pinball. You know.
Yeah.
And. It was always, you know, like, especially like the 80s, 90s one, like the special look to them that like, just, it's just awesome. Even the older ones too, like, you know, like, oh, you see like all the separation of silk screen. Like,
yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
That always attracted me. So, when he asked me like to do that, I was like, yeah, like that's like an awesome, you know, like, medium to work with, you know, like it's something that's totally different that I've never done, but like it's going to be awesome to work on. Yeah. So you know, that way, like he introduced me to Stern and then like they got back to me and you know. Yeah.
So let's talk about that process, like the process of actually creating a pinball machine art package is, yeah, I don't know, like what goes into that? Like they call you up and they say, hey man, we have, they obviously knew the title, right?
Yeah.
So they approach you and they're like, we have Jurassic Park. Like, yeah, walk us through that process. Cause it's fascinating. I think it's fascinating because you're working with a license. I mean, Jurassic Park is interesting because a license, it wasn't nailed down to like a Jurassic Park movie. You know, you did have like the one character that, you know, obviously had to use a likeness and stuff, but it seemed very wide open because you weren't so tied down. What's that process like?
I think the idea that they had was like basically to do Jurassic Park anyway, like that was like in between movies, sort of, you know, like how you have like Marvel comics between movies, sort of that explains a bit more the story.
Back, like Star Wars, you know, and like the Star Wars series, how it's just,
they keep expanding, you know, like, and explaining other things that like are loopholes, and you know, so they fill it up. And I think like the idea of Jurassic Park is a bit that, you know, it's like, it's another story, but like it's based, you know, there's an history there, but like it's other stories. Like it's a new adventure sort of. So, when they approached me, like Zombie Yeti told me already, like, I think you're going to like this one. So, you know, like, I'm not telling you what it is. I'll let them contact you. And then, I think it was like Greg Frères that like hit me up first. And to boost them, you know, start by explaining what they needed and what they wanted. And then they asked me to do like basically a test piece just to see like, you know, if it would work, if it would fly with the licensor. So we went from there. Like I did like, I took like about 2-3 days to just like put something down, like an idea of how I would go about.
Now, what were you doing? Then, did you do like a play field or what type of piece did you do?
I did a bag glass.
Okay.
It's actually like the bag glass that ended up being used, I think, for the premium. Yeah, that's the one I did.
That has like more oranges in it.
Yeah. So I went with that one. Like there was like a previous version though. Like I reworked it after, because like once I started, like I did that test piece like pretty quick, and then like I did a lot of other work like once it was approved and everything. And like I had to readjust the first piece that I did because, like, you know, like of course I did it like a bit quicker and and then like I reworked it like to bring it to where I was happy with it.
And you're doing all this? Is this all digital, or are you actually like painting it back?
Yeah,
or?
No. Like I really wanted to like do like original paintings for this, but time wise it was just like, and I was a bit nervous too, like because when you work with a licensor, sometimes like they ask you, okay, take that dinosaur and move it to the back, and then like move this one to the side, and then if I start doing like original artwork, like it would have, you know, messed with me time wise. So yeah, so like, you know, because the process was pretty quick too, so I had to you know get in gears, and because if I started like painting by hand, like it would have been quite some work.
And so you start, so at what point did you start working on the play field? Like, did you start like on cabinet art because it's more of a flat medium?
Yeah. They threw me because like not everything was set to for the play field.
Yeah.
So like play field is always something that moves like almost to the end, you know, like, cause like the, you know, there's many factors that come into building the play field. And sometimes subjects change because like something doesn't work the way they want it, or sometimes they have another idea or whatever the reason is, like the play field can change like a lot. So they just made me wait on that. They're like, okay, don't touch the play field. And it was the most complicated part that you're going to have to do. So like, just don't even think about the play field right now. Just like, you know, focus on the cabinets. And yeah, we worked on the cabinets, like, you know, like rough sketches, and then that's approved, and like you go a bit cleaner, then that's approved, and then like you go, you know, for the finals. And once all the cabinets were done, that's when they actually flew me in, because at first they sent me like some some files for the play field in layers of like, you know, like basically like a CAD drawing or something like that. And I was like, all right, so what the hell is that? You know, because what am I doing with this?
Yeah, yeah.
So Greg was really cool with me. He's like, dude, like we're going to help you. Like yeah. if you have questions, so you can hit up like Zombie Eddie. He'll walk through like, his, like everybody was super like chill with me. And, you know, because I was a new guy in that kind of work too.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of pressure too, like because I've never done that before. And like the stress level was pretty intense, you know. But like not from them, like the stress that I would put on myself,
yeah.
like during the job, you know, because like, wanted it to look, you know, good enough. So, and yeah, so like at some point, like the play field was pretty much set for them. Well, they flew me in to like show me the prototype and, you know, like show me what like each target was doing. And so when I got back in my hotel room at night, like with the plans that they printed out for me and everything, yeah. like I could start at least like thinking, okay, I can do this with that. That's going to be like a road. That's going to be, you know, like where to place what.
What type of conversations were you having? Like how integrated were you with the entire design team? Like, were you talking to Keith Elwin, Greg, everybody?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. Yeah, it's always like we always like 2-3 main guys, like, you know, like I didn't really have like much work done with like anybody that was doing like the anything that was video, like for the screen or anything like that.
Yeah.
Or sound wise, like, you know, we didn't have really interactions. But Keith was always part of the process, and Steve and Greg, like I was, you know, working a lot with those guys, and they were like always super helpful. Like, yeah.
I think it's interesting that you weren't working with the video people. Like, it seems like that, especially because it's all, it's like a TV now, right? That's yeah. where Stern is. It's like you have a TV in the back box. It almost seems like there should be more artistic integration between.
Yeah, but I mean, design, there was, you know? Like, there was stuff that I sent that, like, that was a bit, like, more, like, towards them, you know? Like,
yeah.
But, yeah, not that much. Like, do, like, you know, time-wise, like, it was, like, a bit of a fast pace at the end. And
what was your turnaround time?
I don't know.
What was your turnaround time from, like?
I think, like, me, I was involved. Like, they obviously, like, they were working on it for longer than that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure for how long before me. Like for me, it was about 7 months, like from like my test piece to like delivering like all the files and like everything.
Wow. So playfield design, when you're laying out the playfield, like the decision to make the playfield art a map, like that whole idea, was that brought to you, or and how much influence did you have in what the actual artwork was on the playfield?
Like they were pretty chill. Like the map wasn't my idea.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they told me like what it was, and it had to be sort of a map.
Yeah.
So I worked out a map, like pretty much like how I saw it, and they kind of like agreed with it, like, and they rolled with it. Most of the stuff on the playfield is like had like a really high input in it, like art wise, like I was really like I had a lot of freedom with that stuff.
Now you said you like weren't coming from a pinball background, but yeah. but you've played it, right? And when you were started actually designing art for a pinball machine, did you get more into pinball? Like I see on your Instagram, like you're, you know, yeah, like you're in a league now, like you play now. At North Star and stuff. So did that transition happen during the process of making the game?
Yeah, I started like being interested, but like really towards the end, like I was really asking for a lot of, like I was asking Keith and Greg many, many questions, like, all along the process, because I wanted it to work for them, you know, like to me, like I can do like a like an art piece. Like to me, I saw it like as a artwork, you know, like
yeah,
just artwork, you know. But I wanted it to make it look functional for them. Like I wanted like a pinball player to like be happy with it, you know, like not me, you know, like at the end, I want to be happy with it, but like, I also want to serve the purpose that I'm there for, you know,
yeah.
I'm brought in into the pinball world and I want to serve the pinball world.
Yeah.
And, that's, you know, that's what I try to do to the best of my abilities and my knowledge at that time. Like if you ask me today, like our pinball machine, I'll probably change some stuff because now I've been playing it a lot at the bar, you know,
yeah.
Like, and I'm like, this part bugs me now, but like, it's probably more a personal thing than anything else.
Like, so what bugs you?
I'm not getting into that.
Oh, come on.
It was like a thing or two, you know, like, but you know, I don't want to.
No, I think it's Jurassic Park it's grown on me. It's not, I've always enjoyed it. I played it like when it first came out, basically they brought it to Pittsburgh for Pinburg, right? Like that was the big reveal. They had the premium. The premium struck me because I really like the orange. Like I think the orange just pops. But I play a pro a lot on location and the play field, I think it's interesting because like going back to like the 90s, like one of my favorite artists, pinball artists was John Yousey. I'm probably saying his name wrong, but he did like Medieval Madness, Twilight Zone, Addams Family.
Yeah.
But there's just a very, like, he had a very stylistic way that he did his stuff. It was, I mean, it was very commercial, but it was very graphic, you know, and I'm like, that's my artwork when I was making stuff was just very graphic, like heavy black line stuff. And so I really like gravitated towards his stuff. I think that like seeing the new games that Stern is putting out, that is very like, you know, there's an artistic hand in it. It's
a bit more painterly.
Yeah, it's more painterly, but
not all of them, but like, you know, that's
well, like I look at like Dirty Donnie's work, like Aerosmith is like, or Metallica, like it is so stylistic, you know, it's like a hyper, it's Dirty Donnie's work.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I think it's interesting. I think Jurassic Park, like the use of colors, you know, like I think one of the games that really gets knocked art package wise was Game of Thrones because it was just like this really flat kind of beige play field. And people were like, I don't know. I think that Stern has done a good job. And I think Jurassic Park does a good job in using colors and really popping the play field, you know, like the green map and you've got the blues underneath, like there's an artistic sense to it where it's not just like, hey, we need to put some ink down on the play field where we can have inserts. You know, there's a lot more to it than that. So one thing that I wanted to ask about was like, as far as like the development of like the three-dimensional aspects of the play field, like plastics, toys and stuff like that, like what was the process there? How much input did you have into that? And what is your what's your favorite part of the game? That's a lot. I got to ask all the questions before we get dropped out again.
All right. So I had like as far as plastics and everything. When they sent me like those files, I was like, dude, like, how am I gonna do this? Yeah. But I had like trying to see it in my head right now, like if. I had a lot of freedom with it. Like a lot of it is mine. Like when I look at it now, there's not much that they had me like to change. Like sometimes they had me something changed because like either their plastic piece was changing altogether. Like, you know, once they test it out and like, you know, I think like the helicopter part, like, you know, on the premium and the limited edition, like I think the propellers like turn on top there, and I think it was just like it was different at first. Like it was just like two propellers, then like it was four, then it was like, you know, like so those things change along the way, and it's kind of normal. Like so they had me change some artwork on that. Sometimes it was like I would go with something different than what it looked like in the movie, like for the helicopter. And I think they made me bring it back to look a bit more like the movie. And as far as toys, like I didn't have much input in the toys. Like it was mostly like in-house, like they would like, you know, do those parts. The truck, like I drew some like possible, like, you know, how I saw it, like, because we couldn't use, like, obviously, like, exactly the truck. Yeah. Like, it's a licensed thing, you know. You know, they already work with one license. They don't want to reach out to, like, more, you know, get more and more people involved. Like, you know, like, to have, like, the original Jeep, I think, would have been, like, tough. So you know, like, they probably opted to, like, make their own, which is cool. And I kind of worked at first, tried to do, like, a, you know, merging like the two different trucks that they have in the movies. And, but it was like, you know, it was like something that I had some input in, but it's not something that I was really like working on. Like I had like plenty with the play field itself and all that stuff and the plastics. So toys were not really, like in my department. And my favorite part of the game, I don't know, like when I play it,
yeah,
I like the ramps. Like, you know, like when you manage to like do a combo with the ramps too, like it's pretty satisfying. Yeah, like there's a lot in that game, and especially like since they updated the code now, the little challenge game that they added.
Yeah.
Like the Escape Nublar. That's a lot of fun.
I have not played that yet.
No, like it's fun. Yeah.
And this is one, like, you can actually just go into it by like holding a flipper button or something, right? Where it lets you kind of cheat your way in.
Yeah, you hold, like, I don't know if it's both. Like I hold both because like they told me to hold both, but like I don't know if it's both, but like basically once your token is in before pressing start, like you just hold the flippers. And then it gives you like some, you know, I think one is like challenge, one is like, I don't remember, like there's tournament or something like that. But there's a setting that's challenge. So then you hit that and then gives you like a bit of a background and what to do.
And that's the actual, that's the wizard mode, right? And, I mean, is it the actual wizard mode or is it?
Yeah, it's like, well, they say it's a mini wizard mode, like, I don't know. I'm not wizard level, so I'm just having fun with it. But yeah, like basically you try to rescue people and take them out of there, and you have to refuel your truck, which is kind of fun too. You know, yeah. Like it keeps telling you you're running out of fuel. And then sometimes like with the same ball, like if you run out of fuel, like you can lose a truck, and you keep just playing on the same ball, but you're losing trucks, you know, so, and you have only three trucks. So it's a lot of fun to play.
Since designing the art package for a pinball machine, do you look at, now that you're playing more, like, do you look at pinball machines differently? Like, do you break it apart kind of?
Yeah. Oh yeah. A bit more, you know, like, of course, like not the old ones so much. Like I just take them the way they are. The old ones, like you just look at the art package and it's just like I just see it as an art package, you know, like I just see it like that. But like especially the newer ones now, like I think like I just really like, yeah, deconstruct everything now. Yeah, I was probably gonna have, like, if I get the chance to do a second one, like it's probably gonna be something that I have that in mind even more now, like, you know.
So you're up in Montreal. You play at North Star.
Yeah.
That's your local place.
Yeah.
How is, what's the pinball scene like up in, I think you guys just legalized it. Isn't that right? Like in the last couple of years or something. I know that I feel.
We just legalized that. I don't know.
There's Adam Kiesler is one of the guys runs North Star. And I think that they went through something where get it legalized.
Oh, it might be like a city thing, like where they didn't want like arcades, I guess, like in a bar. Maybe it's a combination of like alcohol and like I guess like some people still see it as gambling. I don't know, but it's I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I can't.
With Jurassic Park, did you like you did like the side art, the like inner blades and or I don't know what they call them, the cabinet, like, you know, inside the cabinet, and you did those.
Yeah.
Now when they were talking, like when too. You were actually going through the process of designing like different, like pro, premium and LE, like, was there a discussion there as to like what would make an LE package an LE package versus a pro? Like, how does that work?
Yeah. They sort of had like an idea that like the premium would be the Raptors, the T-Rex would be the LE. Like, so like we started with that sort of, and the pro model was a bit more like inclusive of like everything, you know, like, so I had to, they kept telling me like more dinosaurs, you know? So I would add one or two in there. Like, it's mostly like the licensors, like at some point, like they want, you know, to see their properties in there too, you know, like, so we had to add a bit, to the pro like that. And, but like they had a basic idea of that. And then when I saw right away, like the T-Rex, I saw it as a dark, rainy, like I might've been told too, like that they would like the darker. I don't recall exactly like if it came from Keith or like, I think it might've been Keith actually that wanted it like a bit darker for that one. But I went like for, I think that's the only one that I had like a definite, like, you know, go for T-Rex and dark. And then I had it like the rainy kind of night feeling to it too. And the premium was, I basically went like a bit, and like I really wanted them to be three different color packaged. And like I wanted the pro to be like basically the daytime and like a dawn one and a night one, you know, like that was basically like the idea. So so I went with that. That's how I you know, I worked on the packages. And then they told me they liked the cinematic look of it too, of my early sketches, you know. They're like, it looks like there's some action going on, and like the point of views too were nice. So I think they like that approach.
Now, when you're talking about working with a licensor, like, who was the actual licensor? Was it the film? Was it the production company?
Yeah, I think it's like owns the right for. I think it's Amblin and like Amblin NBC or something. Or I don't remember exactly.
Do you know why they went with Nedry as a character? Just because he like dies off, right?
I'm not sure what the story is. Like, it's probably, well,
yeah.
I was just happy to draw Newman. Like, I'm a big Seinfeld guy, so and I remembered like the, like, it was an issue too, like with the old, because like when I was approached to do Jurassic Park, my first like instinct was like, all right, what are the other machines? And I looked at them, and like North Star had one of them that I could like play and even look at and stuff. And I'm like, okay, like I want to do a certain thing, you know, differently than that. And then like I remember Nerdry's fingers, so I knew I had to get the fingers right on this one. But no, I guess like I'm not sure what the story is. Like, I guess they have like the rights to Nerdry, but not the other characters, so I'm not sure what the deal is with that. But like I would have liked to do at some point, like I drew like a, I remember they made me do some rough sketches at first, like for ideas. And one of the first one was like kind of a joke that I sent to Greg. And I'm like, how about this one? And it was like Jeff Goldblum, like when he's laying on the side, like, you know, So they're like, you know, I think they liked that. Like they told me like, oh, right away at the beginning, we liked your sense of humor with like the,
yeah,
you know, the ideas that you were bringing. So
you could do,
but you know, it would have been fun to do more characters, but like at the same time, like the time was pretty, like, you know, sometimes with characters and likeness, like I can get it, but like I already had like so many dinosaurs to do and like foliage and like, you know, jungles, and it's like it's a lot. It was about like, it was kind of time consuming already, so I was almost glad that there was no characters personally. And I think especially since the game, I think, was meant to be more of a, like, you know, like a, an extra story
directly
from the
to
movies.
Some, yeah.
We're like, yeah. And he's the one, like, he's like one of the villains, you know, yeah. like in the original movie, because he's the one that causes a lot of trouble. So I think they can play with him too, like more as a, you know, like a, to play with the rules of the game and all that stuff.
The actual like drawing of the dinosaurs and stuff. I mean, that's like, you don't have a background in dinosaur drawing. So like, were you just like,
no, I don't. I had to learn a lot of about like, I mean, dinosaurs.
I mean, there's a certain.
And then I remember like Keith would just like hit me up. Okay, we need this blah, blah, blah dinosaur. Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, all right, which one is that? Like, I don't know dinosaurs, you know, like I had to look it up. I guess like he knows more about dinosaurs than I do. But yeah, like I had to look up certain stuff and yeah, I actually learned some stuff over the.
No, I mean, I think it's a great art package. I mean, it's a. I'm saving my pennies. I'm saving my pennies. I want one. It's one of those games where it's, I mean, I'm a pretty decent player, but it's a game that is so nuanced that I feel like you almost have to have it in your basement to really appreciate the level of craft that goes into the rule set. It's crazy. Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. 'Cause like I'm not like an experienced player, you know? So,
yeah,
but it's a lot of fun to play. I'm having like a blast playing it. I'm happy that's my package. It bugs me sometimes 'cause I'm playing and it's my artwork in front. But like the game itself is like a lot of fun to play for even someone that doesn't know that much about pinball. And I see people at the bar too, like they're drawn to it because it's Jurassic Park. And then they notice stuff on the playfield. Sometimes I'm playing the machine next to them and like I'm not saying anything, but
it's
like
my,
I know
it's my
like,
game.
It's mine, you know. And people don't like they, you know, I'm in Montreal. So like people don't think that there's someone designing like artwork for a pinball machine in Montreal. Like people just don't think about that, you know, like even in the league, like sometimes people are like, really, you did that?
Yeah.
And then they don't get it, you know, like, oh, I managed to do that. But the people just have fun playing it. But then when like I'm getting a bit better and like at trying to do certain targets in certain way, you know, playing with the rules of the games and like trying to advance and you discover so much and there's a lot you can do in there, you know. So,
what
yeah, it's fun.
You're saving your pennies. Well, saving my pennies. They didn't give you one? What's up with that? You need a better manager, man. Are you a manager?
No, I don't know.
That's
I need a manager.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Stern needs to drop they need to drop supply you what art package would you you would do a premium Morelli, I would assume, right?
Oh, it's like if I had to have one. I think I would be drawn
premium.
To like
the
premium,
orange.
Probably.
I think the orange, like the contrast of the orange, works really, really
well.
Yeah,
I think the orange. Yeah, like I can see that like in a basement.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's darkish and it's like orange and yeah, I like that one. I also like I like them all, but like Ellie is cool too.
Yeah.
For, like the extra, like you know, the cabinet, like the extra.
But the premium art package. That was the first thing you did, right? Like you said that that's kind of your test one. It's kind of.
Yeah, that's actually like the first one. Yeah.
Dream theme. If you could design the art package for any theme for a pinball machine, what would you do?
I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, I'd love to do a Slayer one because I've done so many Slayer t-shirt designs and stuff like that, and there's a lot of potential I think for like, you know, something that's really mean. I don't know if you could do three different art packages almost for it, but if you had one, like, you know, like I think I could do like a really awesome job on that. I would paint it all by hand though, like, you know, like really old school, like 80s, you know, Ailsa Waite kind of cover art. But you know, other really weird team I'd love to do. I don't know.
Yeah, that'd
like
be good.
A Dumb and Dumber one.
Yeah.
You know? Like there's so many quotes in that movie, and like it's, you know, I don't know. It's I'd be pretty open to many, many themes, you know, like, I really got the bug. Like, it was really, like, it was a great experience working with those guys. And, no matter how, you know, they're like all,
like, yeah,
a lot of legends, like, that I worked with, you know, like, I worked with big names, and, they were so welcoming and just easygoing, and, like, you know, they were super cool to meet, like, in person. And
awesome, yeah, man. Congrats. Yeah, it's a pretty, yeah, like, solid game to, like, come out in, right? Like, Keith Elwin's second title.
Yeah, yeah.
Jurassic Park, so it's icon. You know, you've got an iconic theme. You have pretty, yeah, much an iconic designer who, coming off Iron Maiden, I mean...
Oh yeah, it was like the game's awesome.
Congrats, man. Yeah. That's pretty cool. I mean, I've got it. Yeah.
I still like, pinch myself sometimes. Like
growing up, even in college, like, I had some friends who, like, designed skateboard decks. And it was like, I mean,
yeah,
I feel really fortunate that I know a lot of people who've designed, who've made things. You know, like, that's one of the things that always drew me, yeah, to like, you know, I went to art school, like, I was in shows and stuff like that, but I always made stuff. Like, I've always made stuff. Even as a little kid, I'd, yeah, you know, break stuff and put it back together. So it's really, yeah, cool to know people who have made things, you know, like, there's just a connect, especially, like, yeah, when you have a connection, yeah, with, like, with the individuals, like, I collect, you know, like, and I collect art by different pinball artists. Yeah, it's just, it's cool to know that these are being generated by people and not necessarily, like, by a computer. I don't know. It seems like we've kind of,
yeah,
lost a little bit of that handcrafted world, you know? Yeah. So congrats, man. That's, like, that's pretty freaking, yeah, cool.
Yeah, it was like, it was like a really,
and
cool,
now you're wearing, like, suit,
yeah, and a really good introduction to,
yeah, so what do you think about the pinball world now that you're a part, yeah, of it? Like, do you like keep up with any of, yeah, the drama, like, and shit?
Some people are very intense. Oh dude, like, when that came out, like I looked at forum, yeah, at first, like, I just peeked, you know, like, because people saw the first images and I peeked a bit, and like, and I was like, all right, this is good. Oh, this is bad. Oh, this is, like, you know, like, and then people are very polarized and, like, very, like, very strong opinions. Yeah. Like, they're passionate, you know, passionate people. Like, so I totally understand. Like, it's not like, you know, I'm not going to say, like, Jurassic Park art package is for everybody, but, like, I've had, like, so many good comments and people, like, coming to me once it was out, like, that, like, it made me feel, you know, all right, like, I think I delivered. It's not for everybody. I understand that. Like, everything else that I've done, you know, like, some people are like, oh, I don't like this one. I'm like, it's fine. It's not for you. You know, like, it's okay. Like, but, you know, like, even Jeremy is like, you know, oh, don't pay attention to that. Just do, like, you know, do what you do. And, you know, and I was like, yeah, it's true. You know what? Like, but, everybody's pretty cool so far. Like, you know, I haven't had
no
hate
death threats.
Mail about, like, you know, no death threats and, like, anything like that. And, like, when I started, like, playing with the league, yeah, too, like, everybody was, like, super cool and, like, you know, just very, like, just genuine people. Like, mostly, most of the time, just they're passionate about pinball. And
yeah,
I can totally get
that. Yeah, you dabble in, like, some iconic, yeah, shit. You know, like, you got Star Wars, you're wearing your Suicidal Tendencies hat. You just had, like,
Yeah, I haven't done any work for Star Wars, though, like, yet. Like, I'm just, like, it's all fan art so far. And, like, I'm really, that's, like, another one on my bucket list. Like, doing something for, like, Lucasfilm or something like that. Like, that was, that'd be
so. What
big,
do you think of, what do you, have you seen, me, you've seen the, but, new, yeah, Stern, like, Star Wars art? Like, what do you think about, yeah, the difference between the two?
Yeah, like, it was in development, I think. Yeah, it was in development at the same, yeah, time that I was, like, on Jurassic, like, towards the end.
I love it.
I like it. Yeah, I like it. Like, it's really, like, I like how,
yeah,
it came out as a comic book, really, like, you know. So I think Randy did a good job on that. Like, I liked it a lot. I remember when it came out, like, I even, like, texted, like, Fred, Greg Frears, and I was like, oh, dude, like, I just saw, like, the, you know, the Star Wars
So one. Mandalorian, is that your next, is that your next pinball machine?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sure.
If it's being offered, like, you'll take it.
I'd love to do that.
Man.
Yeah, of course I would take that.
Oh man.
Like in a heartbeat. Like I love that show.
Did you see they're coming out with toys?
They did with it, so
yeah. They have the Hasbro Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Troop.
Yeah, I've seen that. Well, I already follow a bunch of people who make props, like, for like fan props that sell them and stuff like that. But, like, everybody jumped on the making the Mando bucket, you know, like the helmet, and, like, people are doing a killer job at it. And it's like, it's awesome to see people who are, like, you know, really into stuff, and they start making it on their own too. Like, you know, just building things and building costume. I always love that part. So,
all right. But, so, where can people, you know, check your stuff out, buy your stuff, follow you?
Yes. You can, like, go to my website. It's johnnycraps.com. I have, like, a lot of my, like, commercial work, like illustration and stuff like that. Otherwise, it's on, I'm Johnny Crap on Instagram too. And so on Instagram, it's a bit more, a bit of everything. Like, I post, you know, like, whatever I was drawing in the morning, I post that.
And, awesome, man.
Yeah.
Hey, well, thanks for hanging out.
Thank you.
Getting through some technical difficulties.
Oh, no problem.
All that.
I know. The internet. Like, you know, you'd think, like, in 2020 would be able to just
Do you have any, are you going to go to any shows or anything like that? Do you have any plans to go to any of the pinball shows or?
No, not at this point. Like, you know, not really. Yeah. I'd love to. Like, it's not that I wouldn't like it, but maybe if I have, like, a second pinball out at some point.
You gotta sign some trans lights, sign some aprons for people. You gotta get on the circuit, man.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that'd be great. Oh, I got, like, you know, I got a lot of requests. They're like, oh, if you pass by this place and, like, you know, drop by, you know, and just sign my machine or sign this, and, like, I'm always up for it, you know. Like, I usually drive down to Florida, like, in the spring break, but this year was skipping. But, like, you know, there was, like, one or two places on the way down that they're like, oh, you should stop by and sign our machine.
So if you're like, ever, yeah, if you ever totally come through Richmond, Virginia, hit me up.
Yeah, I cross by every time we go 95. To Florida. We usually drive down.
Next time, hit me up. We have a spare bedroom.
All right.
You have two kids, right? I have two kids. I'm how old sure are your you kids?
Offer that.
Oh yeah, I've got 9 and 13.
12 and 7.
They can fight or get along great. You know, or they'll just sit around really quiet on their iPads and ignore each other.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they do now.
Hey, man.
That's terrible.
Hey, man, it was good to chat with you. And thanks. And I'll get this out later today. And you have any music requests? What are you listening to?
Not really. These days, a lot of Madball, Suicidal Tendencies. You know, I like a mix of really old ones and new ones. Otherwise, I like a lot of different stuff.
Like, you have any
Mob?
Yeah, man.
Not that much. I feel a lot of bands now that I would like are just a repetition of what happened already. Nothing comes to mind right away. Like, you know, once in a while I get, like, into, like, a new hardcore band, but they usually sound like an old hardcore band because, like, I don't like the ones between.
What band did you not see that you wish you had seen?
Dead Kennedys, probably. Like, yeah, I missed them when they came when I was younger. Like, but with the original members. Like, I wouldn't go now, but, you know, went with Jello. Like, I've seen Jello, but
Black,
like, a spoken word thing, which was great. Not the new Black Flag.
Yeah.
Like, it's Mike Velley now, I think, though, singing. Like, I dig him. Like, I like him. but the last album that they put out with that cover art, like
I don't know if I even saw. Like, yeah, I don't know if I saw that.
It was like you don't have to. I think it's like Black it doesn't flag, look like a
My War
kind of.
I bought Black My flag, War.
No. Yeah, no.
When I was like 14, like I go back. Like I was talking to my daughter recently. I think we were listening to The Subhumans, The Day the Country Died, that album. So good, right?
Oh, that's
that was one of the first albums I bought when I was like 13. I remember I bought The Subhumans and GBH, and I was talking to my daughter and I was yeah, playing it because I'm like, I'm now at the point where I'm like, I'll play that. Well, I'm just like, I'm like,
I've been playing that stuff in front of my kids like since they were like four, like even though the language or anything. Like,
I think the language thing, like my kids can sing along to Fugazi, some Fugazi, oh, some yeah, Black Flag. I try to like limit the language stuff, but now it's kind of like they watch the Goonies. You know, once your kids have seen the Goonies, they've seen everything.
They're exposed to it.
And so I'm like, you know, whatever. So yeah. I'm like, yeah, playing some Subhumans. And my daughter was like, I bought this album when I was your age. Like, just don't feel like there's.
Yeah, I was about 15 when I bought that album. And that album I bought at the same time that I bought 7 Seconds, The Crew. And like me and my buddy, we bought those two albums. We got back home. And then we listened to both, and the Subhumans, we just kind of like forgot about because like the Crew was just so fast and just so like, and we really got into that. And nowadays, like it's the opposite. Like, you know, like I still love that 7 Seconds album like a lot.
You see him live? You
know, having a blast listening to it.
Oh, see, I saw them live, and I will say, like, I played 99 Red Balloons for my daughter recently because they would always close with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it,
I love
like,
the original of that. So.
Yeah, that was, just iconic, iconic bands. And did Montreal have a big music scene, or were you living in the suburbs at that point?
Yeah. Like, but I used to come, like I was taking the bus to Montreal to buy records, like, every week. Like on my own, you know, when I was like about 15. Like Montreal had like a pretty good hardcore like scene at that point, Montreal and Toronto. And, but Montreal's been metal like for a long time, like really, like, I don't know what it is about metal in Montreal, but it's really clicked, you know. And, the fact that it's like so cold half of the year too.
Yeah.
Like people are in basements.
Yeah.
Like, you know, playing with their guitar and yeah.
All right, man. All right.
That's probably it.
Well, thanks again. Johnny Crapp, Jonathan Bergeron. Awesome, man. Well, it was great chatting with you. I'll play out with some 7 Seconds. And man, if you're ever right down on this way, hit me up. And I'll keep following you and take care.
All right,
and
cool.
Good luck.
Will do.
And congrats on the Suicidal merch. That's crazy.
I was pretty hyped when they asked me to do that. So yeah.
Awesome, man. Thank you. Well, have a great Sunday and I will talk to you later.
All right. Take care.
All right, man. Bye. Bye. Buy a bag of balloons with the money we've got. Set them free at the break of dawn. To one by one, they were gone. Back at base. Blast the message, something's out there floating in the summer sky. 99 red balloons go by. Yo! Do people you've already killed. See what you've done with that machine of yours. You can't justify, you ain't got that cause. It's only cause we're living in a new age. You gotta wait along when you're on the right. They're gonna put you away in the cage. You better start to act your right.
the street. The one with a gun, they're afraid to meet.